that want the world to, you know, to fall in line with their emotions. It's not, look, reality doesn't give a shit about emotions.
It's my lived truth.
Fuck your lived truth.
No, it's not. It's your perspective.
Kiss my ass.
Literally, like, hey, Sarm Pop, you got to turn your bear suit. I'm like, over my dead body.
No.
Just give me a statement of charges. Yeah. You're never getting this back. Yeah. You can suck it.
I'm going to wear this with my Russian coat.
you will bury me in this. Hey! Why I got to fucking be like that, man?
Because I'm an asshole, and I learned from the best. I'm sitting across from him, and I'm pointing at you with all four fingers.
All right, first of all, the Russian jacket is World War II surplus.
I'll send you a picture of it, Sarge.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I got you standing wearing it with holding two giant buckets like you just collected all the chum from behind the dump dumpster at the bar, and you're going to go home and make ice cream out of it. Hey, greetings to all you British cigarettes, homo sapiens, and troglodytes. Welcome to Gruntspeak.
Live from the lair!
Buff drink lots, punch rock, groin yoga homo, and bender hover cumin snatch in the house tonight.
What's happening, everybody?
Good evening.
What's up?
Dave looks far too pleased with himself over there. He looks like he's below decks on the gay cruise.
Go fuck yourself.
He's looking up at ball sack.
The red that's just it's beaming
on you.
Rage.
It was just too dark over there, man.
Beaming.
It was darker than Pop's ex's dating roster.
Oh, careful. Don't get him sued.
I don't want to get him sued. Don't get him sued.
That was a good one, man.
I get thrown out. All I know is every single time I think about that woman, this is what I hear.
Total cocks.
$500,000
$500,000 right up the A word.
It's man. More than just a currency in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It's a Thursday night for your ex.
Wow.
We already got some K-shaps already before we even started the show. Got 25 in from Rex Farrell 69. Thank you very much, sir. And Suze McCarley sent in 30, along with a story called I Did Me a Stupid This Week.
Also, we're waiting on another life saved.
Ooh, outstanding.
So hopefully he'll send in the story.
The story. Yeah, get on that, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Suze has to say, hi, Pop. I gave myself an eye injury Tuesday. Missing the show. Here's a description of my colossal act of dumbasslery. In case you'd like to share it with tonight's donation. You don't have to if you'd rather not. I'm fine now with only a little pain and my eyesight should go back to normal. I'm smart enough to spell ophthalmologist. And dumb enough to put glue in my eye.
Ooh, no.
People call that bukkake.
Yeah, from Elmer.
Yes. I missed the Tuesday show because of what I hope is the single most stupid thing I will ever do. It was going to be a great day. My to-do list was 3 whole items long. Mm. 1, scoop dog poop. Meh. 2, plant 2 new healthy peach trees. Yay, I could eat a peach for hours. And 3, pop and cognac.
All right.
After feeding the pets and filling the bird feeders at around 1 p.m., I was brewing my second cup of coffee, and I sat down and reached for my eye drops, but instead...
Oh, no.
I put a drop of cosmetic fingernail glue in my right eyeball.
That would be super glue.
This is bad, right? Mm-hmm. No, the nail glue is not normally anywhere near the eye drops on my desk, but suddenly I got really smart really fast, possibly breaking land speed records to get to the kitchen sink sprayer. I hosed out my eye for a minute before grabbing my phone to talk to 911 while continuing the waterboarding process. Then I had my first ever and second ambulance rides, the second being from my local county hospital to a level 1 trauma unit in Indianapolis.
Wow.
I spent 11 hours in 8 or 9 out of 10 pain, mitigated occasionally by oxy and high-dose Motrin, and some wonderful numbing eye drops.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I know it does. I don't know what's in those drops, but they won't prescribe them for home use. They're potentially dangerous to the cornea, and patients will likely use them too often. Yes. I absolutely would do so. Fortunately, my prognosis is good. I flushed out the glue before it could harden, so I didn't require emergency surgery to scrape it off my eyeball. Ooh, that's like up there with needle in the wiener, man. But it,
that's a shame.
Ooh, but it burned off the outer layer of a big chunk of my cornea.
It'll grow back.
Ugh. They considered admitting me anyway for pain management, but I was released at midnight, picked up by a dear friend who spent 3 hours on the road to deliver me home. Fun fact, the cornea may have more nerve endings than the foreskin. Not that I to say that I circumcised my eyeball, but I probably have an inkling of how it feels to be kicked in the nads. It was far worse than the Pitocin after my C-section. Ooh. Ironic fact, nail glue is the same as medical suture glue.
It's
intended
glue.
For skin, not eyeballs.
Correct.
No sympathy, please. I deserve and welcome an epic roasting.
Well,
I think a knife hand is in order here, sir.
All right. Pay fucking attention next time. You could really fuck yourself up. Now, I've actually, in the Army, on two different occasions, and the second time it happened, I literally got done looking behind me and going, yeah, we need that. Like, I need a sharp stick in the eye. I turned and a stick went right in my fucking eye.
Now, that's ironic timing right there.
Yeah, they'd actually pick me up in the helicopter. And I remember, like, yeah, we got a guy, I got a stick in the eye. Nah, it's pretty bad. The medic wants a medevac. Yeah. All right. Dumbass, go out to the field. Put up the strobe. Yeah, they'll come get you.
Hey, get it.
And yeah, I got the eye drops. And it really sucks when you're laying there and you see them coming in your eye and they're like scrubbing on it. You're like, ah!
Grazing.
Yeah, it was bad.
What about you, Dave? What is your epic dumbassery moment?
I've had nothing shot in the eye.
Well, that's sure. Appropriate, I hope. Not yet.
I don't know. There's quite a few, but I don't probably nothing for YouTube.
Yeah.
Nothing for YouTube. What, you can't gloss things up with some lofty language?
I don't have anything crazy like that.
No?
No.
What about you, Jimmy?
I've had a piece of metal stuck in my eye before work. Oh. It is quite the trip when they put those numbing drops in your eye and you doctors be like, okay, don't blink, and you hear the drill coming. Scrapes the little bit out of your eye.
That's not good.
Yeah.
It's like virtual reality Lucio Fulci film.
The only upside is the cornea heals fast.
Ah, well, that's good to know.
So I only had the eye patch on for like 3 days.
I've only had the eye tests where they put the drop in and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had to have... I've broken some bones and all that, but never had to saw or scrape or... Yeah. Fuck that.
Well,
sucks to be you guys.
You keep messing around with those 45-year-old women, they'll scrape the inside of your penis.
That's all right, though.
They'll ride you off the range.
Yeah, cougar hunt.
I'm all right with that, too.
You don't want to get rided off the range, man. That's not good.
No, not in that sense, but yeah.
Yeah, cougar hunting definitely has drawbacks.
You get yourself the throat rot.
Throat rot. Or the throat goat. I mean, if you're lucky, you can get the throat rot or the throat goat.
Yeah. Or you catch both.
One could potentially give you the other.
She's an unclean throat goat.
And Michael Douglas get the throat cancer from going down on too many whores.
His licking box.
Yeah. That's what happens when you cheat on Ann Archer for Glenn Close, you fucking weirdo.
Dude, well, listen, nobody's perfect.
I feel bad for Matt Damon. He had to make out with Michael Douglas for that Liberace movie that those two fucking made. We're just actors. What? No, you're homo confirmed, man.
Nah. What movie is this?
Nah, it was about Liberace. I don't even know the name of it because I didn't watch it. Like, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, that just sounds disgusting on a level that I can't possibly fathom. No, thank you.
I cannot willingly go to a movie where there's, like, gay stuff going on.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It's pretty gay.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty gay.
It'd be like getting ambushed with like a midnight screening of Brokeback Mountain, and then they lock the doors once you're inside.
Yeah.
Don't be first in line, though, because then everybody's at your back.
No, I got tricked into that one movie with the cross-dresser. I don't remember the name of it. And one of my ex-girlfriends and her friend tricked me.
Oh, The Crying Game.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm literally watching it, and I'm like, that's a dude! Dude, and like the whole theater starts laughing. I'm like, oh, God.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, that was
the first attempt to popularize
I got totally Brandon's ambushed on that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally fine. Love is love.
No.
No, it's not.
No.
Sure.
No. Sure. I'm sorry. Now, listen, I get it. You know, they want to be gay. Be gay. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I don't care. Once you're an adult, I don't give a shit what you do.
But, you know, the thing, like, manly love, in my opinion, is getting up and rushing across the open area under a fire to grab your buddy who's wounded and dragging him behind cover.
There you go.
That is as far as it goes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're not wrong. Goat Milk just sent in $5 Canadia. Thank you very much. You European.
Yeah. So if we have anybody from Canada watching, please Canada. Let us know how these tariffs are tearing up your country. Because I need some good news to sleep tonight.
A little schadenfreude. I think I can smell it. Yeah.
Like China is going nuts.
Oh, yeah. They've already emptied out a bunch of their factories because like they think that they can strong arm us. But the fact of the matter is that you don't have an economy without the United States.
They need us to buy crap. And yes, we can go a lot longer. As fucked as we are. And as materialistic and as greedy as we are, we can still survive without materialistic crap a lot longer than they can without producing.
Yes, because we can literally produce everything that they produce here and do it better.
So we might get decent jobs, not force everybody to college.
Number one, when you're starting to force fast food to pay a living wage, the government is fucked up at that point.
Yeah,
because you have shipped all of our jobs overseas that used to pay the living wage.
Yep.
We need to bring those back.
And they think that, you know, regulating a minimum wage is going to fix shit when all it does is make things worse every single time without fail.
Minimum wage itself kills competition and it kind of de-incentivizes any good working ethic.
Correct.
Bye-bye.
Correct.
But we do have a video to kick off with tonight. And I found this extremely entertaining. I sent this to you early today. I was literally just, I jumped onto Not the Bee and I was like, what can we cover today?
Oh, God.
And this is just hilarious. This lady figured out how she's winning every argument with her husband. And I give her all the credit because she is funny as hell. And she does not hesitate to go right into self-deprecation. Enjoy a woman who's actually funny.
This is terrible new information. I thought I was winning every argument with my husband because I was right and he was wrong, but I just put the camera at his height, so how he sees me, and I realized this is not the case at all. I'm not winning because I'm right. I'm winning because how could you take me seriously? I look like a bobblehead. I got a lot of things to say, and there's a couple of reasons why I'm correct in this situation. I look like I should have cartoon steam coming out of my ears. Oh, I'm so mad right now. I would be choking back laughter if I was arguing with me. You know what? You know what, buddy? Of course he gives up in 10 seconds and kisses my forehead. I look like a small woodland creature trying to tell a giant. Yeah. Hey, giant, I've got something to tell you. Oh my goodness. I'm not winning on merit. I'm winning because I look helpless and silly. This is how he sees the whole world. No wonder the guy's so confident he can tap everybody on the top of the head. What a different way to live.
What a different way to live. Yeah.
Hey, you know, and that really is, it is kind of part of it, you know, because most of the time, like if you're arguing with a woman, you've already lost some of your own like dignity. Most of the time, because you're trying to bring logic to an equation that doesn't even have a spot for it, usually. So you just kind of want to be like, sure.
No. When I was in the battalion, we had like a guy who was 5'2". We called him Skittle.
That's a great nickname.
Yeah. And he was always fighting with this other dude. I think his last name was Johnson. It was another platoon. But this guy was huge. He's like 6'3", 6'5", something like that. And they would be like, you motherfucker. And he'd be like, literally just push him out of the way. Zoom. At one time, he's like trying to wrestle him. He's like, come on, man, stop. This, you look stupid, man. Dumb. Picks him up, sets him aside.
Get over here.
Come on. You look like a sick puppy. Come on.
Here, you sit on Santa's lap and let me know what you want for Christmas.
But they're actually, they became pretty good friends after a while.
This chick just cracks me up. I look at her, she's like a hobbit asking about second breakfast.
Yeah, you're right.
What about second breakfast? Please, please, thirdsies. Mister, may I have some more?
Does he know about thirdsies?
Does he know about thirdsies and foursies? How about 5, 6, and 7 play? I learned about that watching Pop reach 50 Shades of Gay.
Dude, come on. That was funny.
I mean, we're going through the book. We're just getting ready to film this thing. And like, when do they fuck? Like, okay, okay. He's still, okay. Her skin still feels alive with the sound of music. All right, next page. All right, we're at the toes. Next page. Kneecaps. All right. It's a very slow roll.
I'm literally like, this is like 5, 6, and 7 play before he even gets near to slay. What the hey?
I mean, if you're going to get bogged down in the details, at least make them interesting. That woman couldn't write to save her fucking life.
That's a lot of build up to the way hey hey.
Yep.
All day.
All day.
No way.
He makes you pay. Even if you're gay. Even then, especially no way. Make yeah. things out of clay and lay by the bay, just me. What do you say? Goat milk back with more Canada monies. A single mom made my balls stink so bad.
What?
I'll never do it again. Only thing that sterilized it was pure frankincense applied directly. It's antibacterial.
You exacerbated.
Okay, that. First what? Of all,
elaborate.
You can't just send a super chat like that in. Yeah. You got to email us the story.
I need what to know hell? More about this.
Yeah, elaborate, please.
Tell me why your balls stink goat milk.
Well, first
is
of all,
is it because they're covered with goat cheese?
They've got to stink that bad. You actually have to walk into the house backwards. Go right to the shower.
This is bad.
Oh,
right?
My God, that's horrible.
This is bad.
I've never had to endure anything that bad.
I've seen some stinky females in my time, brother. It's
quite
unfortunate.
Yeah, I have had the misfortune of walking into a female barracks, and that was horrible.
Oh yeah,
there's a special type of stink that comes when they all live together. Like, when dudes live together, it's armpit and ass.
Yeah.
Okay, you open a window, you're good. The female barracks, it's a smell that permeates your clothing and stays with you all day long.
Anybody any woman out there who thinks men are messy has never gone into a chick's locker room. Has never had to clean the chick's bathroom at a retail job or especially a restaurant.
Or even lived with a woman.
Yeah. Like, this is bad.
Yeah, when I was
a teen. It's real bad. It's nasty.
When I was a teen, I was working at a restaurant called Croissants.
Croissants?
And I had to clean the bathrooms. Ugh. And there was a lot of times I'd go in there and there'd be used female maxi pads stuck on the wall.
What?
The owner, Wolf, we called him Mr. Wolf.
Oh.
I'm like, Wolfie, come here.
Wolfie.
Check this shit out. He's like, oh, that's horrible. Clean it up. I'm like, that's what I thought you were going
to say. Usually when one of the managers or whoever was assigned to clean the shitters at Olga's kitchen would come out and say, check this shit out. It was literal shit.
Yeah.
Like somebody either leaving it in the toilet or my personal favorite, pulling it out by hand and creating some art deco piece on the fucking stall walls.
So then, gross, man.
Like all of us that worked there used to put money into a jar and then we would have some of the leftover dough at the end of the day.
Okay.
And we'd take it and like throw it at the wall and time it to see how long it would go. How long it would stay on the wall.
How long it would stay before it fell.
Yeah, okay. And then if you had the longest time at the end of the week, you got the money in the jar. Well, Wolfie comes out, and we're all, we hear him coming, so we're all acting like we're busy.
Of course.
He just reaches in there. Oh, psh, time it! And he just walks out. I'm like, how do you know about that? He didn't win, but, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, we all have funny work stories. Yeah, send those on in. We get a few of those from like Rusty Bad Wrench, and Kelly, I believe.
Or even horror work stories with females. Because I have been in work environments with all dudes, and then they hire in a female, and it just goes all to shit. It changes the entire dynamic.
Wasn't it in Ireland like a couple of years ago or something like that, where every woman in the country went on strike which is like, you know, like a 25 to 35% of their working population.
And there was no decrease.
And there was no decrease in productivity. In fact, the managers were like, wow. So HR was completely dead. No one was calling anything in. And it was nice to finally get some shit done.
Yeah.
I was in all male environments from the age of 14.
Iceland, my bad. Not Ireland, Iceland.
I've heard that story. No, I was all male environments from the age of 14 to probably about 33, 34. And then I went into an environment where it was like about 70% female. And
wow,
it was fucking stressful. Just walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Always walking on eggshells. And the chronic, like, the just like at you. Well, that, yeah, like the leadership. And there's a reason women say they would rather work for men than women.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, men are, you can say all kinds of fucked up shit to us. We're like, unless you catch us on a day after, like, our dog died, a family member died, or a close friend died. Other than that, you could pretty much on any day say some of the most fucked up shit to us. We're like, oh, yeah.
Okay. You'll be done with it the next day.
Yeah.
Nobody will give a shit. Yeah. It just rolls off the shoulder. Just rolls right off.
HR.
Yeah, I have never, ever heard of a dude calling HR on another dude.
I encourage people to do that shit now, though. Men should do that. Start fucking taking a playbook, take a lesson from their playbook.
You know, I would love to do a comedy video where I'm like in a work environment and I'm like, hey, don't touch my balls. She touched my balls.
See, like Kevin Spacey in American Beauty, except you do it like.
She asked me to make a copy of my taint. I declined.
Prove that I didn't. Like, prove that you didn't.
I've actually seen that. That was
awesome. I love that movie when he's like, can you prove that you didn't offer to save my job if I let you blow me? And the guy just sits back and he's like, man, you are one twisted fuck. And he's like, nope, I'm just an ordinary guy with nothing to lose. No,
when I was working in investment banking, we used to call internationally, and it's cold calling on the phone.
Yeah.
And we'd come in at like 7 o'clock at night and work until like 5, 6 in the morning, just calling. Oof. And I remember he's like, you got to get in at like 6:30. I'm like, all right, I roll in at 6:30. And I don't see my buddy John. I walk in. I'm like, hey, John, where you at? And all of a sudden, he's like, I look back. He's sitting on the copying machine, Xeroxing his ass and balls. And
those stories have to come from somewhere.
And literally, we were Green Berets together, so it's crazy. So he's like, all right. He's like, which is better, balls or no balls? I'm like, yeah, if you're going to do it, you got to have the balls. He's like, okay.
Just don't make me watch.
So, no. Well, I was on the investment banking side of the office. Then we had the stockbrokers.
Okay.
This guy named Phil ran the stockbrokers. And he had all these Ansel Adams pictures, black and white.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he locked his office. Of course, it was secure. It took like 30 seconds. Like, take a picture off, put the cock and balls, stick it on his wall. And then we forgot about it. So it was there for like 3 or 4 days. And like 2 in the afternoon, I hear like over the intercom, how long has the ass and balls been on the wall? I'm not angry.
I'm not angry.
I just want to know because I've had some meetings.
Yeah, we decided not to go with your company because of the decor.
Oh my God. That was good times, man.
You know, back in the day, you know, like all of these, you know, these 80s movies that you watch, right? Like that, like any place where like it's just a spot for dudes working, you know, construction, what have you, like they just have centerfolds out.
Yeah.
No one cares. Like, you do that now, all it takes is one chick walking by. She doesn't even have to work there. Everybody's ass is on the griddle the following morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that one woman changes the entire culture.
And she's probably walking by in skin tight fucking yoga pants with that much fucking being revealed.
I love these new yoga pants that literally look like there's a black hole where her anus is, and it's just suctioning everything into the middle. It looks like Spider-Man's web.
I just can't. I see it at the gym too. It's like, and the wearing the makeup. I can't even, looking at me.
I
can't even take him seriously.
I shouldn't have to worry about the male gaze while I'm just trying to work out.
So in the future, we are going to have a liquor license, and we're going to be selling mead.
Mm.
This isn't standard mead. This is called black mead.
Yes, that is the Kampfschwerg special.
Yes, and what he did is he took the honey and he caramelized it first, and then he made the mead.
Oh, I told Battle Dwarf that he needs to call his mead company Kampfschwerg.
Yes,
because that's German for Battle Dwarf.
But it is
just don't call it Mein Kampfschwerg, because then there's half of the population will be like, no.
It's like 18.5%.
I mean, you won't be able to sell it. You're going to have stock up to here.
But it's 18.5%.
I'm in so much
alcohol.
Trouble.
Yeah, he's going to get angry at that one.
Wow,
but it's okay. Yeah.
Well,
what would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
But if we get this up and running, I'll let everyone know, because
it's a good mead, man. I got to try some yesterday.
Fucking good shit.
Yes, it is. But it's not all good news. It's not all good shit. Turns out something that we have long since suspected is 1,000% true. Believe it or not, new study shows that dating apps are really bad for you, actually. So I'm going to go to this article here, which was referred to in the last one there. But if you want a quick summary, that Not the Bee article here is a good place to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But here is the dealio. Swiping right on a dating app is messing with your hormones. Emphasis on whore and moans. Mm. New study is found from eHarmony and the Imperial College of Business revealed that the dating app usage has a direct impact on cortisol, dopamine, and testosterone levels.
Oh, so wait a minute. All right. So these women have already destroyed their oxytocin when they walk across the stage at high school with a 1,000 cock stare. And you when you watch these girls walk across the stage, they're doing a lot of this because in their mind, they're slipping so many cocks. It's like a boxer slipping jabs.
Yeah. And then they want to talk to you with a Z snap as if, they actually have a leg to stand on.
I'm the prize.
That isn't covered in semen. Many of us have felt the roller coaster of highs and lows after matches on Tinder and ghosting on Bumble for years now, but a new study has finally proved what we have all known for years, that dating apps are messing with our hormones. So I found this to be refreshing. They're experiencing a dip in usage recently, with Tinder and Hinge, two of the most popular online dating apps in the UK, are seeing an exodus of 700,000 users in just a year. But by 2035, eHarmony Imperial College of Business report indicates that more than half of couples in the UK will have met online. The rising prevalence of dating apps has led to a phenomenon researchers have coined the dating app effect. It concerns a phenomenon that dating app users experience cortisol and dopamine dysregulation to such a degree that it resembles chronic stress disorder and addictive behavior. Two for one bipolar special.
Yeah. So what we have going on here is too many cockalips.
Too many cockalips, yes.
It's just chicks who want a bunch of attention with easy access to it. That's all.
If it was a war movie, it would be called A Cock and Lips Now.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, you ever mess around on those dating sites?
I've sadly stooped to a couple of them before, but they've always ended up with a one night of way, hey, hey, and then see you later.
Yeah, way, hey, hey, and I'm on my way.
A one-night stand. Yeah.
Bang, and immediately leave.
There you go.
I met my ex-wife on one.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And a chick I dated on and off for a little while, I met on one.
I met my wife on OK Stupid back in the day.
Yeah. OK Stupid.
She actually, in her defense, she wasn't even looking for dates. She was literally looking for someone to teach her hockey. Long story short, at that point in time, she worked in Comcast and corporate escalations, and she promised her team, hey, if we get a retention rate above a certain point, I'll take everybody to a Red Wings game. But she had no idea what the rules were for hockey. And because I taught her tonsil hockey instead, when she actually went to the game, she was cheering for an icing call, and everybody was like, this fucking chick over here.
Yeah, I got you. I myself messed around on Plenty of Fish and eHarmony, and that's it.
Plenty of Fish is the one with my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Plenty of Fish, man, has the highest STI rate of any dating site.
I imagine. Well, it used to be free back in the day when it first started. Actually, I got kicked off several times for being brutally honest.
Yeah, that was one of the apps that I used. And of course, Tinder, you get nothing but fucking bot and fake accounts on there.
I never did Tinder. I tried Match for like 2 weeks on the free thing, and I can't fucking do those things. I'd rather just fucking take care of myself and go to bed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really was, you know, like all of those sites were, they're all symptomatic of the same problem. So let's jump back in here. And what it really is the illusion of endless variety.
Oh, yeah.
Is really what it comes down to. So a guy named Kosis, who was pioneering the study, he explains that hormone disruption is a result of dating apps' impact on the brain's reward system pathway. Essentially, when users get a match or engage in positive interactions, this can lead over time to a neurochemical dependency, just like the antidepressants that increase your self-deletion ideation.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's not your fault that you're depressed. It's a chemical imbalance that we're not going to test you for or even think about. We're just going to prescribe you shit that's going to create the exact chemical imbalance we claim already exists so that it creates a dependency on our product and turns you into a perma customer.
Now, I'm going to be honest.
Suck it.
A lot of those head meds, at best, they're just a crutch, a temporary thing. They should be just temporary.
Some people that they go on them for years and then they wonder why they don't feel like themselves off of them. It's because you've created the chemical imbalance that was never there in the first place because you were just too weak to handle that shit on your own.
Well, now don't get me wrong. If you're bipolar, that it does work. It does stabilize the bipolar.
Well, yeah, bipolar is one thing. That actually is some sort of a dependency or a mental illness, what have you. You had a traumatic brain injury, which can cause shit to go on in your brain. Most of these people just go in, they have one meeting with a shrink. I'm depressed. That'll be $100, please.
Yes, plus the...
And those are the cheap ones.
And plus the payment for the pharmacy.
Yep. Everybody wants their pound of flesh. Kosis breaks down the most significant ways dating apps can throw your hormones off balance and create an unhealthy reinforcement schedule. The three stages are the anticipation phase, the perception phase, and the reward delivery. Right to the warehouse.
Right to the warehouse.
Anticipation phase is when users open the apps and experience a rush of feel-good, mood-boosting hormone dopamine. Following this comes the perception phase, which users experience another wave of dopamine after receiving notifications, further elevating their normal levels. You'll notice that you don't even have to be on a dating app to have this. This also can come about with social media.
I was just going to say that.
Dependent on it. Reward delivery is the third phase and accounts for the most substantial dopamine spike and the one you are most likely to recognize for yourself. It is the spike experienced as a result of a match on an app which leads users to repeat the dopamine-releasing pattern. This reinforcement schedule is the same psychological mechanism as gambling. Similarly to gamblers, dating app users are unable to predict when they will win, which then leads them to adopt seeking behaviors.
What exactly are seeking behaviors?
Grass is greener on the other side.
Addiction.
Oh, okay. That doesn't sound good at all.
The addictive nature of this cycle means that when regular dating apps or users are not able to use this app for an extended period, they may experience dips in mood, irritability, and even anxiety as they crave the variable ratio reinforcement schedule. The dating app usage can also impact testosterone and cortisol, affecting libido and thyroid function. Thyroid malfunction, underactive or overactive, can cause a wide range of symptoms impacting metabolism and energy levels.
Well, it fabulous. Also...
As if you need another reason to be size 14.
Well, men, I mean, when I was in the dating app, unless you were picked the mean off the bone ugly, I'm like,
That's because we're logical creatures. We understand
it's a numbers
that
game.
Most people that you are going to run across on dating apps are average. They're at the top of that bell curve that looks like a tit.
Yeah, but it's also it's a numbers game, and we know it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the profiles are the same. They're all love their family and love God and strong and don't need a man, but are really feminine for the right one and career and travel working out and painting or something. Well, it's all the same shit.
I mean, Plenty of Fish is where I got the I got the, you know, you're not 6 feet. I got that a few times. Yep. I got the hanging comma. And then I got kicked off because I'm like, oh, yeah. She's like, well, you're just not tall enough. I'm like, well, at least you're a new bra size. And she's like, what do you mean?
Double D long.
34 long.
Way.
That'd be an interesting episode topic. Dating app terminology. Because a lot of these chicks out there, like, they don't realize that they're telling on themselves when they, you know, concoct these profiles with all of this lofty language. But if you're smart, you can read between the lines that they're hopefully not snorting off of other men's cacks.
Dating app terminologies.
You can, I did have a little spat there before I got fully got off the dating apps there or whatnot. And they all the people on there were saying, if you voted for Trump, don't even bother with me. I would DM them instantly. Trump 2020.
That's awesome.
MAGA. Here we go. Impact on testosterone. This affects a lot of our audience, so listen up, especially if you're on the dating apps. Dating app usage can cause fluctuations in testosterone levels for all genders. You mean both? After a win, testosterone levels can rise by 15 to 20% wow. in just 15 to 20 minutes.
Wow.
Fascinating, huh?
Didn't know that.
Just as significantly, it can drop by 10 to 25% when a person encounters what they perceive as a loss. By dating app standards, a loss can mean anything from an unreciprocated match to finding out that you've been unmatched or ghosted. This unnatural rise and dip in testosterone levels can have significant impacts on mood. When it surges, users can feel a sense of social dominance and confidence, and contrastingly, lower testosterone caused by feelings of rejection can result in decreased energy, mood swings, and even reduced libido. Does that sound like the modern young generation of dudes, or is it just me?
The scientists?
Well, when you've got 100% of women thinking they all deserve the top 20% of men because most men like are willing to treat an average chick as an average chick. Well, you get enough of those dudes in your inbox, average women will or below average women will think that they're top tier women. And then the rejection continues. Dudes trying to go after lower tier women thinking they're a sure thing, encourage this cycle. You're part of your own problem.
So what you're just discussed, what you just told us is a description called the 4-8 syndrome.
Yep.
Where these women who are fours think they're eights.
Yep. Or even tens. There was that one chick who was on the Whatever podcast. Oh, yeah. Well, all women are tens. There's no guy tens.
So many
stupid tattooed redhead.
Like what about Gorlock?
Gorlock the Destroyer. Isha Chuta Solo.
Oh, my God.
Bad news bears, baby. Bad news bears. It even goes on here to talk about cortisol levels. Dating app users reportedly experience higher baseline cortisol levels, and these levels remain elevated for several hours. Hence the emotional roller coaster. Women are addicted to drama, and drama causes rising cortisol levels. Essentially, users are in a constant state of anticipatory anxiety. This is dangerous because prolonged high cortisol levels can disrupt the body's hormone production and affect thyroid function. Now, in addition to several poke and smokes, an order of magnitude more poke and smokes that we're being subjected to throughout our lives from childhood onward, and now social media
and
increasing everybody's cortisol levels and disrupting their hormone functions, is it any shock that we're having as many fertility issues as we are?
Well, that I think a lot of it has to do with plastics.
That too.
And then there's a chemical called EPA, which is in virtually every hair product, almost every medicine, all the hand creams. And that is a estrogen mimicking chemical that literally absorbs through your skin.
Yep. Even beer.
Yes.
Beer when it breaks down in your system.
The hops.
So don't drink too much.
Marijuana breaks down to an estrogen type of chemical as well.
Yeah, it's a good time.
No shit. I don't
know how to do that either.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Now, reading this article actually got me really interested because as soon as it mentioned gambling or addiction in general, I'm like, okay, well, this sounds fairly interesting. I want to look into the psychology of chick gamblers. Now, most Western studies will claim that it's men who are the primary problem gamblers. However, if you go outside of this country, this is what happens when a lot of the grants for research now are like almost universally subsidized. There's not too many private grants anymore for that sort of thing. So they can basically send you out there and let you know the result that they want. And, you know, anything that's, you know, the Dutch study for troons, need I say more?
I've actually had to counsel guys in the army whose wives were having gambling problem.
Oh, yeah. And this article really, really kicks it home. It's not the entire thing. It's just a small passage in the middle here that I came across, and I was like, oh, wow. And here it is. Though gambling has been considered a male affliction for most of history, that is no longer the case. In 2019, Swedish health authorities announced women at 64% represented a majority of gambling addicts in the country, compared to only 18% in 2018. This is where it gets interesting. They attribute the rise to online gambling. So this is what I take away from that. You guys let me know if you think I'm correct or incorrect. When it's out in public, women are far more worried about the social perception of they're doing, right?
When you're at home.
But if it's behind closed doors, they are ready, willing, and able to engage in nefarious behavior.
Oh, yeah.
And this proves it.
Well, okay. First of all, since feminism, which is communism with tits, has taken hold in this country, women are drinking more.
Oh, the binge drinking's doubled in 10 years.
Using drugs more. They're gambling now. And I'm pretty sure they're flicking the bean as much as a dude is skinning the snake.
Yep.
So, all right. I'm just going to be honest.
They want to blame it on Google because they saw Ted 2. Search for recipes for lasagna. Big black cocks? Well, might as well look.
But the thing is you're absolutely correct. When they're out in the world walking around, they really are very careful about their image.
The chameleons.
Well, when they're at home. That's why they lie to their friends as well. It's all about maintaining an even social keel, if it's a complete fabrication.
But you want to know who busts them out? Their frenemies.
Yes, their frenemies will bust them out. We watched that video last week. These two chicks watching this girl having a fight with her boyfriend, and she's obviously in the wrong. And they're like, let's tell her something that will ruin her life. You're 1,000% correct. You deserve better than him. See it all the time.
All the time.
Every girl I've dated and my ex-wife, they all had that one friend. Like that just like they were single or had multiple relationships and they never liked me. Like those never liked me. Cause I'm like, I know what the fuck you are, you know? And it's like, I don't know. Like,
I gotcha. I need to do
I hope they don't put tariffs on Franzia.
I need to do another red flag video because that's a major red flag. If your woman has the best female friend who's chronically single,
career oriented, and that type of those friends, it's like those are patterns. Like you just, they start setting you up. It can't be, it can't just be one. Like when so many people are having that experience,
you know that single friend is in her ear, like you could do better.
Oh, it happens all the time.
He does not deserve you.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you know a group of married women who are all friends and one of them gets divorced, at least half of that group will follow.
People are going down.
Yep.
It's a domino effect, and it's because the single one wants to take all of her married friends out for girls' night out. Oh, isn't this so much better? Oh, life was so much better when I was single. No, it wasn't better when you were single. It was more exciting. Hmm. All right? And exciting can be dangerous.
I'm dressing for me. No, you're dressing to go dick shopping for strange dick.
Ugh.
I can tell the difference.
Yep. What in the butt, baby? Or should I say butt? Question. Would you guys like to see a few examples of what the dating app cycle has wrought out here in the real world? Because I've got three wonderful examples of modern women being strong and independent.
Bring it.
Oh, goody.
Walk away from the good guy already. Like your brain wants to explode, right? But before we even get off the last topic here, I did see a chat pop up here from Sean St. George. Blake, how many nice girls are total freaks when the bedroom door is closed? If no one else is watching, the societal pressures no longer exist.
Yeah.
And even then, those freaks behind closed doors will look you in the eye and say with all fake sincerity, I don't normally do this. The first time.
Yeah.
She closes, she says that and then closes the door, locks it. Bring out the GIMP!
The GIMP's sleeping.
Oh, God.
You're just in that rotation.
They want to get their teeth flossed with your balls.
Yeah. Or, you know, she pulls out the bean massager that's hooked up to a nuclear reactor by jumper cables. This one's for you. No. But here we go. Walk away from the good guy. Let's see what this person who can wake up in the morning and smell the coffee in Brazil, look at that nose, has to say about walking away from the good guy.
Well, she's got an 8 head.
Yes, she does. Yeah. And I swear that nose there, man. Look at it. It's almost touching her top lip.
Never feel guilty for having to walk away from the good guy. Just because he's a good guy, just because he's a gentleman, just because he treats you well, just because he's generous, just because he's successful and he's nice and all of those things, that's not a reason alone to choose him. He could be a good guy